Today's episode was brought to you by the Harper Home Team, a realty team covering San Diego, Orange County, and Riverside County since 2000. A family business born and raised right here in San Diego with over 1,400 homes represented. And guess what? They're Padres fans. I know this because they're the team I personally use for all my buying and selling of all the homes that I have. I have so many homes. And we've talked a lot about Fernando Tatis Jr., maybe too much. More on that a little later in the show. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, call the Harper Home Team now. 760-456-5846. That's 760-456-5846. Or just go to harperhometeam.com. You have the internet. You can do this. harperhometeam.com. You get a free consultation to build your home buying roadmap. Do it.
Voices of San Diego is the region's most popular public affairs podcast. Every week I get together with my co-hosts Andrew Keats and Sarah Libby to break down the week's news. And I think if you like keeping up with Nick, Dallas, and Travis on local sports, getting Padres updates, stadium development news, you'd like our show too. It's Voice of San Diego. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Padres canon. It is I, me, the host, Dallas McLaughlin, the ledger keeper of the Padres canon. Thank you so much for listening last week. I mean, it was a ride. It was a ride. And I can't believe I'm going to say what I'm about to say, but H.J. Preller brought a convincing argument for the inclusion of Kurt Bevacqua in the Padres canon, and with over 30% of the vote, you guys voted him in. So, at this moment, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise. Put your hands over your heart and your other hands over wherever else you want to put your other hand. Because Kurt Bevacqua, we welcome you as the first official, unofficial member of the unofficial Padres canon. Welcome, Kurt Bevacqua. I can't believe in the history books it'll go down as you being the first inductee. But we got another fantastic episode. None more of my yakking. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this guest, Scott Lewis, Coach Lou, we can't say enough about him. He brought forth a fantastic candidate for the Padres canon. And, oh, man, I was troubled. I was troubled on how to vote. Enjoy. Of course, if this is your first time listening, and it might be because you're slow on the uptake, but that's okay. The Padres Canon is a show where we dedicate players, executives, broadcasters, people in the history of the San Diego Padres, and we decide as a group, as a collective group, do they belong in the Padres Canon? This isn't the Hall of Fame. This is the giant history book of the San Diego Padres, and does this player or broadcaster, whoever, do they belong as a sentence, a paragraph, perhaps even a whole chapter in the history of the San Diego Padres? And you Padres Twitter, you make the final call. But each week we bring a guest on to nominate somebody for the canon. And this week, I'm very proud to have this man on. He is, he's the coach. He's the one of the founders. I probably got that wrong. A Voice of San Diego. But I could have gotten it right. I don't know. It's a nonprofit.
I was one of the early employees. So I came on first, but I did not create the organization. No, I can't say that.
Okay, great. So the creator of Voice of San Diego, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Lou, Scott Lewis is here.
Hey, Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I know you're busy. You guys are tackling. There's some news in San Diego.
Just a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
Got to get the kids back to school someday, Dallas. Do you think that'll ever happen? I got to get them back. They're I love them.
Yeah.
But I want them to go to school.
No, I know. I do think it's funny. The argument that everybody keeps having is we got to get these kids back in school. They're it's hurting them. And really it's just parents going, no, it's hurting us. We're losing our minds.
No, it's good. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And you brought forth a player today, which this is going to be a hard one for me. And I think maybe a hard one for a lot of people. We'll start with Yang Hervis Solarte.
Jan Hervis Solarte.
Quick background on Solarte and how he got to the Padres. He was signed, man, what a weird road for Solarte. He was signed in 2005 by the Twins as an amateur free agent, and then saw no professional time with them other than in the minors, had some surgeries. 2011, he was granted free agency, signed with the Rangers, granted free agency the next year, signed with the signed back with the Rangers, and then once again was dropped. Then finally in 2014, just almost 10 years after being signed by a professional baseball team, he signed with the New York Yankees, saw his first time in the major leagues, and as many would say, took full advantage of that time and was a lone bright spot for the Yankees in 2014. A lot of people liked him a lot, so much so that the Yankees then traded him. And Jose Rafael de Paula, as everyone remembers, of course, to San Diego for Chase Headley, which I imagine at some point will make an appearance on this podcast as well. That is how he got to the San Diego Padres. He had a few seasons with the Padres. We'll get into stats and all that fun stuff in a minute. But you, Scott Lewis, have brought him to our attention. Would you like him to be in the canon? Are you arguing for or against Scott or Jan Hervis Solarte? You tell me.
Can I do some background real quick?
Sure.
So here is a little bit of history about me. So I grew up in, I was born in Greeley, Colorado, grew up in Northern Colorado, and there was no baseball, professional baseball nearby at all. The Rockies had yet to come to Colorado. And by the time they did come, we had already moved away to Salt Lake City. And so I grew up as a Chicago Cubs fan, and then because of WGN,
you know,
it broadcast. So basically you could watch the Cubs or the Braves, and I went with the Cubs, went to spring training, Mark Grace, that whole world of Ryan Sandberg, Andre Dawson. That was my childhood baseball hero world. So then as I got older in Salt Lake, I decided to try to look for a baseball team again. I'd never ever been to Chicago, so I needed a baseball team. So I identified the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, as like the closest team of any relevance to Salt Lake City. If you think about it, Salt Lake City's a giant, you know, area of in the middle of nowhere as far as baseball goes. Went with the Giants, started to try to take them on as a passion play. Never really sat well. I moved to San Diego 2003. Didn't really adopt the Padres for a while until after the 2007 series when what's his name didn't touch home plate.
Matt Holliday. Yeah.
So that next year I decided like, okay, I'm just gonna become a Padres fan. I'm here. I'm building a life in San Diego. We're building a family here in San Diego. Be a Padres fan. So I became a Padres fan at probably the worst moment in the history of the Padres to become a Padres fan. Went through that whole time period. So what I've done is pick two people who best represent two phases of the Padres before this beautiful modern phase that we're in right now. Do you know what I mean? Like this Machado, Tatis. I'm not going to talk about those guys because that's too beautiful. I can't handle the beauty. So I've decided to try to pick two people from these two different eras of the pre-2019 period.
Yeah.
So you brought up Solarte first. So Solarte, this was that period when I was really, when you kind of realized that to be a Padres fan meant you couldn't root for the team you could, but the point was you were going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
So your only option was to root for the people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to root for individuals, to follow individual stories. And Solarte, to me, was a beautiful player. And he was so excited on every play. He was, the guy would get a sacrifice fly, and he was just pumping his fist. He was just as excited as it get. I'm really a sucker for on the field energy.
Enjoyment. The players looking like they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
And that's always a plus. Yeah.
He was, so to me, he represents the only happiness of the Andy Green period.
Wow.
the only joy of the Andy Green period. And I leave out even Will Myers's like half year run from that, because Myers was tortured, and it's so sad what Andy Green did to Myers. You know what I mean? Like, they were obviously not a fan of each other. Yeah. And so I leave out the Will Myers. And so to me, there was nothing else happy about that time period, except for Jean-Hervé Solarte. And he, and the guy went through like that year, that 2016 season. I don't remember the exact story, but his wife got cancer and ended up passing away. And he still batted like almost 290 that year. He was like always like a reliable, hitter. And he was just it was an energy that I was really proud of. And when he got traded away, I think to the Jays, it just sort of marked, I think, this transition from, all right, now we're going to be a real team. Like he kind of held the boat together, in my opinion, for a while.
Yeah.
And then they said, all right, thank you, Jan Hervis. We're going to go build a real team now. And so that's why I picked him as a representative. A lot of people are going to have a lot better picks.
That's not necessarily true, Coach.
So that's the case for Jan Hervis. Third base, mostly, right? But he did a few other things. There was that period after him where they tried Christian Villanueva, Ryan Schiff,
Will Myers
at third base. And he was the last like real third baseman they had until we got the dream, until our dreams came true. That winter of 2019
when we went after Manny Machado and surprised the world.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if I'm getting this correctly, and I hope that I am, your biggest argument, in fact, I would say lone argument right now for Solarte being included in the canon, is purely emotional based, that he brought you joy and that he represented some of the only joy on the field from, say, 2014 to 2016, 17.
Yeah, bro, that 2016 season, for example, was so awful. Because they had made this run, right? They made this like play, and it was just a dud. Remember they lost like the first three games, like 30-0 or some shit. It was just like,
I believe that was the season where we had a tracker for them getting their first run. Was that season? Where they didn't score a run for like a week.
This is the only thing I remember from that period, is a blur of pain. It was so bad. And there was Jan Hervis just like going, and he was playing. And I just remember just thinking like, I'll always have this warm spot for this guy who's going through immense personal tragedy. Mm-hmm. And he's just out there smacking it. And you know, the problems of the club aren't there. And so to me, it just represents this 3 years of awfulness. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy that like was still able to bring joy to fans like me. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I listen, that is a fantastic argument. It's your argument. I'm not going to down it. I would echo some of that and say, you know, in the fact that he was traded for Chase Headley, which, you know, he was kind of the lone bright spot for a lot of people before we got to Solarte. He was I always thought Headley was overrated. I'm sure that will be an episode at some point, but everybody was mad. There goes Headley. Great. What do we got now? We got nothing.
Yeah.
And Solarte, we're bringing in Solarte. But there were people, if you're paying attention, who in New York were actually pretty upset about losing Solarte. They really liked him. And he immediately in San Diego, like, because of what you just said, his enjoyment of playing baseball, he immediately won over fans. And in his first season with first few games with the Padres, he batted .267, which is respectable. You know, he had four home runs. I mean, he took advantage of his short time in 2014 with the Padres on the other side of that trade. And then in the 15,
He had his best season as a pro up to that point, 270, 14 home runs. And then, as we mentioned, the 2016 season when he lost his wife, 286, 15 home runs.
Oh, yeah, 286. Yeah.
And it was 109 games. Obviously, had to cut short. He had his own – he had the horrible tragedy in his life happen. But he was on his way, and he was winning fan after fan. I mean, all we could talk about for a lot of those years was, well, at least we got Solarte. Can we build around Solarte? Like, people were asking that question.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an amazing thing to ask. But he was steady. He was a steady player.
I know it's a tough one, and I don't expect the community to validate him as a canon member, but you know, as I describe my own fandom, mm-hmm. like this is what I went with and the kind of thing I just had to deal with, you know.
No, listen, I mean, if you're going to join in and be a Padre fan, you picked, you know, one of the worst times to do it. And that
well, nobody
means
can
lot.
Blame me for joining like at the bandwagon time.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not like you were there in, you know, the Adrian Gonzalez years when we had hope for a while. You latched on when there was just nothing. And I got to appreciate that. I mean, I think I'm going to guess off the top of my head that maybe when you latched on, like Davy Cruz was our shortstop. I'm not positive, but that could have been
yeah.
a thing.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of guts to decide to do that to yourself. Right. I also love that you had to give your entire backstory to validate why you chose Solarte. I think that's a bold move.
Well, thank you for hearing it out.
Of yes. course. No, I think it's great. Let's give a little postscript to Solarte. Obviously, he played with the Padres for four seasons. He was traded in 2018 to the Blue Jays, and honestly, one of the weirder trades. Mm-hmm. We got Edward Olivares and Jared Karkoff, who went to the minors. He was granted free agency at the end of the season, then signed with the Giants, one of your former teams. Saw a little bit of time with them. Granted free agency after the end of the season. Then the Marlins, almost immediately granted free agency from the Marlins, latched onto the Braves, didn't see any time with them either. And in 2020 was released by them. He played some time in Japan, but that was pretty much it on Solarte. And, you know, I think he's one of those guys. He was born in Venezuela. I think he's one of those guys who made good, did some pretty awesome things in the major leagues. And I can only imagine now will probably stay in the game and be an ambassador in Venezuela. There's a lot of players that do that. And as you said, he played with joy, a lot of joy. You can't overlook mm-hmm. that. It's crazy to me that we don't see him anymore. He's only 33 years old. So I don't know if he latches on with anybody else, but I do see him becoming maybe a manager. He's like one of those guys that I could definitely see having a managerial career.
Yeah.
Batted 259 for a career, home runs 75, RBIs 307. I know a lot of people don't care about that, so I'll tell you his WAR, career WAR, was 6.3. Not great, but anything in the positive category is, you know, usually a plus to me. But
yeah.
Other people can disagree, I'm sure.
It's a dream MLB career for 80% of them, right? At least, like.
Well, yeah. And he signed, and as you said, he was doing so well for the Padres. They actually signed him to a pretty nice deal. And throughout his career, he made almost $8 million, which for that type of player is a phenomenal, phenomenal feat. So, I mean, I think it's easy. If there's anything else you wanted to add to your argument for Solarte before we send it to the public, please.
I think that's all I got, Dallas.
No, it's okay.
I
it's
tried
okay.
my best for
no.
I think he was a fan favorite at a time we had literally nothing going for us. That's all I rest on. In the story of the Padres, you're going to need to understand the pain of the sort of 15 to 18, 19 years, you know, and that he brought any joy was part of that. I mean, what we're talking about, like Jose Perella and Seth, what was his name?
Seth Smith, right? Seth Smith.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're giving me.
Aswahe, Amarista. I mean, it was just it was a rough time.
Give me heartburn just talking about it. All right. Well, listen. So I go to you first, Coach Lou. Does Yang-Hervis Solarte deserve a spot in the Padres canon? Your vote is obviously.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
But it's okay if you don't.
No. It's listen. This one I will be extremely interested to see what Padres Twitter does with it, because I believe he was a Padres Twitter darling for a time.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I myself, I'm on the fence. I'm really on the fence. I think I'll have to think about it. I'm leaning towards yes, because your argument is very valid. There was very little for us to be happy about during that time. Uh-huh. And we could all get behind Solarte. Because it was also fun to say his name. Yeah. So that's always nice. All right. Well, listen, now it goes to you, Padres Twitter. We'll have it in the pinned tweet at the Kept Faith. Go to the Kept Faith on Twitter at the Kept Faith. In the pinned tweet, it'll ask you the simple question: does Solarte deserve to be in the giant history book that is the San Diego Padres? If you open that book, do you see his name there anywhere? It's up to you now, Padres Twitter. Do what you will. Be nice. He's been through a lot, and he deserves some adoration. Follow us at the Kept Faith on Twitter. Follow at the Kept Faith anywhere, Instagram, and then you can also go to thekeptfaith.com. And while we have Coach Drew here, I mean, I would obviously say check out voiceofsandiego.org for hard-hitting news about what are you guys covering nowadays? I mean, there's the COVID thing is a big deal.
Yeah, kind of.
Have you heard about COVID?
Yeah, everything, vaccines, schools, local politics, budget problems, water, clean water, lack clean of water. Man. All those things, all the things that go into making a city work, we try to cover and help people understand and find things out that people don't want us to understand.
There you go. Check out voicesofsandiego.org. Follow Coach Lou. Is what's your at VOSD Scott or the other way around?
Yep.
That VOSD Scott on Twitter. Thanks, Coach Lou.